good, everybody. But hey, how you doing, Marissa? Everything good, fam?
You know what? I'm fabulous. I just found out that my life did matter. So yay. Thank you. I do appreciate that. I slept so good that night.
But you know what, Marissa? I'm like too stoked for today because obviously we got two amazing guests that's going to be joining us, Henrik the Wreck and Whitehall. But I'm actually later tonight going to go to the Five Point Amphitheater and I'm going to go see Slipknot perform. And this is my third time seeing them, so I'm beyond stoked. But what always makes this trip, I feel like, a little bit more special is because I'm going to be bringing along three of my buddies. One of them's already seen Slipknot, but I'm going to be talking about Zach and Scotty because for them, they've never seen them before. And I know what these nine-man ensemble can bring live to the set. So that's always really, really cool. And I don't know, well, what's happening in your world? What are you going to be planning on doing this
week?
Well,
I was supposed to fly to Portland for Crash Fest, Punk Fest, that I was looking forward to. It was all set, had everything done. And I just had the weirdest, I was supposed to fly out yesterday, but I had the weirdest anxiety about it. And I don't have anxiety for traveling. I'm okay leaving my daughter with my mom. Like everything was set.
Yeah.
But I had like weird anxiety, like so bad. And I'm pretty intuitive. So I canceled everything. Took my kid to Knott's Berry Farm. We're going to go to the beach today. I'm not going to go to work in the morning. I'm still going to pretend I'm gone. So if you're watching, my bad. My bad.
No! You just tainted yourself. I didn't even say anything. That was all you.
That's okay. No, they're cool. I need a vacation. I'm going to go apple picking with my mom on Monday. We make a homemade applesauce that was my great-grandmother's recipe. So
yeah,
you get that applesauce.
Yeah, I mean, you're always so kind enough to, bring me some of that batch as well. And so I know that when you go to make this special applesauce, the last I recall, Marissa, you go all the way up to Big Bear to go to this.
No, Oak Glen. Oak Glen is the apple spot.
And why is it better up in North Cali compared to here in SoCal?
Well, it's not North Cal. So Oak Glen is right by Big Bear in a way that is down that mountain on the side.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
not that far away. It's about an hour drive. It's gorgeous. They go all out on the holidays. You can take your kids. Like, we're going to go again next month with the whole family and like go, apple picking. And we can go pick
Well, you
up
know
pumpkins.
What? When I'm thinking about this, I know like my grandma Boppy, for example, she makes this amazing Christmas dish called, sauerbraten. And it's always been like a secret family tradition for so long. And, my grandma kind of held on to that until, the aunts and uncles got a little bit older. Did your grandma treat you the same way when it came to this applesauce dish?
Oh, no. So like our family's really big on traditions. So from my mom's side, I have the applesauce recipe. I've actually spread it out amongst anybody who wants it in our family because I want that tradition to keep on so it doesn't die out with somebody. On my dad's side, we make an Italian soup, cappelletti's, every month that was brought over from Northern Italy. And so same thing. We want to make sure like my kid, my brother's kids, like they all know how to make it to keep it going. We are really big on sharing and keeping that alive because I had a friend, same thing. His mom passed away and now they can't make that favorite dish because she just was like, oh, I'll teach you later. I'll teach you later. I'll teach you later. I never did.
Well, I think that is so cool. I think that's so freaking exciting. I think this is the time, when fall and winter comes around, this is that moment where you kind of get together with older relatives, learn a cool new dish. I think that is super, super groovy.
When you have kids one day, are you going to teach them how to make a pizza pocket?
Oh, yeah. Put a minute 30 on your hot pocket. That is absolutely for sure going to happen. But I got everybody and their mom that's texting me this morning. So stop it. Stop texting me. But other than that, let's get the show on rolling and, might as well. But before we even begin, I want to remind everybody that we got a great show for anybody that's tuning in right now to the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. Joining us on Just Talking is CCS video game contributor Henrik the Wreck, and our strike a chord artist is four-piece indie rock band Whitehall. Also, don't forget to check out our music podcast series, Off the Fret, featuring emo rocker Anson as our sixth installment. More music talk. All right, party people, let's get this show on the road. Hey, what's good, listeners? This is Just Talking, where our guest that's going to be joining us live on YouTube is Henrik the Wreck, our CCS video game contributor on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. How's it going, Henrik?
Pretty good, pretty good. How about you guys?
Hey, man, we're always good, especially when we got you for this special occasion, because we know right now, you know, TwitchCon San Diego is happening at this moment. But before we even indulge in any kind of gaming news, industry talk, and so much more, the fans, the listeners, they have requested this. They loved it last time when we put you through the ringer. So, Henrik the Wreck, are you ready? Do you know what's happening right about now?
It's trivia time.
It's trivia time, baby. So, Marissa and I are going to put you through the ringer.
His heartbeat just went up 1,000 degrees.
You wouldn't be wrong there.
You know what also can raise his heartbeat? Just a little bit of game show action. Let's get the music going, baby. Hey! For everybody that's tuning in live with us, Henrik the Wreck has gotten a special trivia questionnaire that's actually geared towards a lot of the announcements that are going to be happening all of this week and at TwitchCon San Diego. So let's kick it off with question number one. CD Projekt Red decided to give fans a look into its plans for the foreseeable future and has revealed that not only is a sequel to Cyberpunk 2077's being planned, but what popular video game turned Netflix series will receive several new titles?
The Witcher.
That is correct, my friend. Yep. I mean, are you excited? Does anybody actually still watch that Netflix series anymore? I felt like I watched season one, but I totally forgot about season two.
I totally watched them all.
Yeah.
I loved it.
You know what's so sad? I feel like I got to go.
Which was awesome.
Was it? Because I'm starting to feel like season two, I might have to watch that and compare it with Rings of Power, because that's been the most disappointing series I've ever seen in my life. It's so boring, Marissa. I mean, think about it. The Fellowship of the Rings.
You didn't like Witcher, so I don't know if I can trust you.
Fellowship of the Ring was about 2.5 hours, and there was more action in that, and we're already got 7 hours worth of content. Ooh. If you know where I'm going with this. Okay, so it's like that's pretty bad.
That's rough. Well,
yeah, it is rough, right, Henrik? But hey, let's go ahead and do question number two. Nintendo revealed this week the first trailer for the Super Mario movie featuring actor Chris Pratt taking on the lead role. My question for you, Henrik, is: what game did Mario first appear in?
Oh, that was Donkey Kong.
That is correct, my friend. And I know Seth Rogen's going to be the voice of Donkey Kong. He hasn't necessarily announced his voice, but Henrik, were you satisfied with Chris Pratt's voice?
You know, it could have been a lot worse, but also I feel like, I don't know, it seems a little out of place, maybe. You know what I mean?
It did kind of feel a little out of place. I mean, I thought Jack Black sounds amazing as Bowser, believe it or not. I was really quite surprised. And then Charlie Day, you can't really necessarily tell, but it seems like they're hyping up a little bit of Luigi's Mansion. So I think that's kind of groovy. I think that, a lot of us video game nerds are rejoicing over the fact that, you know what, that teaser, after all, it does look pretty dope. Let's go into question number three. It was a bittersweet moment for gamers this week as Overwatch is officially gone for good and replaced with Overwatch 2. But Henrik, my question to you is, what year did Overwatch come out?
Oh, this is an easy one for me. I'm a big fan of Overwatch 2016.
Dang! I thought that was going to be the hard one right there. Let's go into question number four. EA Motive released the first gameplay trailer for its highly anticipated remake of its sci-fi survival horror coming out on January 27th, 2023. What is the game?
Is this Callisto Protocol?
I'll give you one more chance. It's a remake. That's the key thing.
Oh,
remake.
I know which one. It's Dead Space.
That's right. There we go.
So I thought nice, so. Chris. I would not have given him another chance. Jeopardy. Jeopardy, there is no second chance.
I felt like you didn't hear the key term remake. So I had to give.
Doesn't matter. Jeopardy.
I had to give
Henrik
another chance.
I'll take you on that one.
And the very last question, let's see if you can get it, Henrik. The internet went into a frenzy last month when leaks of over 90 videos and screenshots from an early in development alpha build of the game surfaced online. Do you know the game, Henrik?
Oh, man. Well, That's like,
what was that big leap?
I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I do remember seeing something about that.
Does Candy Sucks ring a bell?
GTA 6.
That is correct. And you know what, Henrik? We got to give you a lot of love. You did really, really good during that time. But hey, let's kick off the show because we got CCS video game contributor Henrik the Reg with us. And it's been a colossal week of video game news with several big reveals. And today, TwitchCon San Diego is happening right now. And what's your favorite announcement this week, Henrik?
So actually last week, this game called Scorn got revealed to be coming out a week from now, which is a week earlier than it was expected to come out. It's a survival horror game. And you know, I'm a big horror fan, so I'm really excited about that. It's very inspired by like H.R. Geiger. So like it takes place in a mysterious world of like bone and flesh. It's disgusting looking. And I love it.
Yeah, you know what? I actually got a tiny little clip of that gameplay. So let's play the clip and then you explain yourself because I feel like your head is totally mentally deranged. So let's go ahead and show the CCS family what's good. Oh my gosh, this is like fear porn.
I'm so about it.
What is going on in this clip, Henrik? Can you explain yourself?
Honestly, I don't really know what's going on either, but that's the great part about it. It's like there's so much mystery to it. And I love the style that it's showing so far because, like I said, it's disgusting, but that's the point. So.
You know what? This is something that, you know, we're going to be talking about obviously a little bit later in this Just Talking, but you know what? Henrik the Wreck and I, we're going to be starting our own Rage Quit, which is basically our video game talk show where we're going to be talking about gaming news, industry talk, and playing some of our favorite games, and also talking to some of the developers that have made these iconic games. And I think this might have to be a first go round. Henrik, we might have to put you through the hot seat and make you play Scorn because this looks absolutely terrifying. I know for myself personally, you know, when I was looking at all the news, you know, I was kind of curious to see why people would be excited for Cyberpunk 2077, especially since we talked about it all last year with you as well, talking about how they were one epic fail. They delayed the game not once, but twice, but three times. And now, you know, I understand that they got a new update. They fixed the bugs. But do we really have any faith in CD Projekt Red to make Cyberpunk 2077 sequel the go-to game when it comes out?
You know, I really am skeptical because I was one of the people who bought the game on launch and experienced the problems firsthand, you know, but I think that, you know, they are changing to Unreal Engine 5, so they're no longer using their engine.
And what does Unreal Engine 5 mean for anybody who has no idea what you're talking about? Because, you know, because that sounds very geeky when you say it, Henry.
Yeah, like, no problem.
What are the benefits to it?
So it just speeds up and makes the process of making games a little faster because, you know, typically when you make a game, if you don't have your own engine, you have to make one. And the engine is where all the things are running, you know, just like a car. So like all the models for the characters, the textures, the graphics, gameplay, everything is all ran through that engine. And so CD Projekt Red has been using their own engine for all their games until this point. And then just a while ago, they said that they were going to switch over to Unreal Engine 5, which is an interesting move because, you know, doing that, it kind of lets them, you know, focus a little bit more on the gameplay and the graphics, rather than have to spend so much time building out this engine to make it work for the game. So, you know, it could work for their sequel for Cyberpunk, but at the same time, yeah, I'm a little skeptical. So we'll see how that goes for them.
Yeah, I actually think this is a perfect segue because, you know, now that you're talking about Unreal Engine 5 and how it's a little bit more accessible to all video game developers, while Netflix is accelerating its efforts in the world of gaming by setting up a studio in Finland in hopes to make world-class games. And do you have high expectations for Netflix?
you know, based off of Netflix's history of like adaptations and things like that, it's a little like, this might not really be that good, but you know, I'm keeping my mind open. You know, we haven't seen anything yet, so it could definitely be good. It's just, I think they need to learn from not only their mistakes, but the mistakes of other people who've came before them. Like Amazon just got into making big games pretty recently, like within the past couple of years, and they made this big MMO called New World, and it completely flopped. That game.
And what does MMO mean? I'm not necessarily familiar with that lingo.
So MMO stands for massively multiplayer online, and then usually what follows behind that is RPG or role-playing game.
Gotcha.
So games like World of Warcraft, for example, is an MMO. That's like probably the biggest one that people really know off the top of their head.
But I also,
and New World was like that.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. But I also wanted to show this graphic on screen real quick for everybody, because I was noticing that it's not just Netflix that's getting involved with, you know, creating video games. We're also seeing our video game influencers like Dr. Disrespect, currently banned on Twitch still and talking shit about Twitch. Video Game Donkey, which a lot of people seem to be very hyped about. And 100 Thieves, which is an esports team who is going to be making their own shooter. And the reason why I bring this all up is it's like my first reaction when I was thinking about this, and I don't know, you know, just because you pick up a controller and you know what you like and what you don't like doesn't necessarily make you a developer. Do you see this being successful?
You know, I definitely could see there being a bit of a success in the sense of, you know, these influencers, a lot of the times they're uplifting these indie developers who are honestly sometimes making games that are even better than the AAA games that these big studios are making. And the only thing is that those developers, them being so small, they don't really have the exposure that they need to get their audience interested. But in contrast, the influencers like Video Game Donkey, Dr. Disrespect, and 100 Thieves, like you said, they all have the audience already. All they need to do is say, hey, go check out this game. This game is kick-ass. And there you go. You got 100,000 people sometimes, you know, looking at that. And that's definitely enough. Even if you have 10% of that to go check out the game, that's a lot more than you didn't have before.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, man, if you can make some amazing micro content, I guarantee you're definitely going to have people at least interest enough to be able to want to click on your game and see what's good. I know Dr. Disrespect was getting a lot of crap for trying to make his game an NFT. Now it seems like no one's talking about NFTs, but I think, Henrik, you exactly nailed it on the dot. But there was also something that came up in mind for me this week, because first off, I can't thank you enough for assisting me in finding a new PC, because I know Marissa has been making me the brunt of the joke recently, especially since I keep kind of flopping. I haven't had it quite the successful startup to the Chris Collins show just yet.
Okay, but you can't all be perfect like me. Like, it's all right.
Exactly. I mean, you really realize how amazing co-host Marissa Pitts is. But we're not going to be talking about her right now in this topic. We're going to be talking about something else, because, you know, obviously we're getting ready to start up Rage Quit, our video game talk show. And, you know, I was really exploring all the different PC game launches, and I was quite taken back at, like, kind of overwhelmed on a level, because when you think about it, you know, you think of game launches like Steam and Origin and Epic Games, to name a few, and doesn't this seem kind of messy? I mean, do you feel like this model will last?
You know, it used to be that Steam was the only big platform, and, you know,
that's
competition's good. Competition is great. You know, being able to, you know, buy something here or here makes it so that no platform gets really complacent. And, you know, I understand that's important. But at the same time, yeah, there's a little bit of inconvenience with the fact that there's, like, what is it, like 4 or 5 different launchers on PC for all the different games you want to play?
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
a little messy, like you said.
Yeah, and I guess when I was thinking about all the numerous options for video game launches, just on the PC alone, it made me start thinking about our recent conversations at the beginning of the summer, you know, like the death of the console. You know, doesn't it feel like the video game industry is starting to go more towards a subscription-based service instead of, you know, cats nowadays willing to pay $80 a game?
Yeah, it definitely seems like that. I mean, it's actually ironic because now they're kind of making things how it is like for all the streaming services like Netflix and Hulu and all those, where there's so many of them. And it's going to be, you know, if you're no longer really buying a console and you're just paying for a subscription, that's going to be one more bill to pay, which, you know, granted, you do save a lot of money when you really do the math because you're no longer buying a console and you're not buying the games. Which can get pretty expensive, you know, $70 now for some of them. But I think that long term, there's a lot of things that need to be changed with those services first before we can really say that is what people are going to do first. Like, you know, reliability and then, you know, just like competitive games, like a bunch of shit.
And when you say reliability, like I don't mean to cut you off, though, Henrik, real quick. Good. When I was thinking about reliability, my first reaction was you're correct. I mean, I'm lucky enough to be all running on an Ethernet cable, but not everybody has that luxury in their home. Is that something that cloud gaming has to figure out, or does it start off with the internet being super successful first and then we'll have the success of, you know, video games through the cloud?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's just a little added latency because, you know, you're having to send the information to the servers and then back to your home. So, yeah, I think that first probably what has to happen is just a renovation of like internet infrastructure throughout the country. I think we're kind of behind in that sense compared to some other countries in the world. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe we can get some innovation in the next few years. But until then, I think that's going to be the first thing that needs to happen.
I think you're right, Henrik. And let's switch up to some industry talk while we got a couple more minutes with you, because what is happening with Microsoft and Sony in recent months? I wanted to show this clip or an image real quick, because Xbox has actually been dedicating a whole web page to try to defend themselves over why Sony, aka PlayStation, is in over their head. Because, you know, the last I recall, Sony was arguing that Xbox is actually going to make it so their AAA gaming will not be accessible to all devices. But right here in this poster, Xbox is arguing, no, this would be a benefit for gamers. We will be on the Xbox, PlayStation, phones, and online. It will be a benefit to indie developers and the gaming industry as a whole. Do you view it that way?
I mean, it's an interesting choice for them to say this, and I say choice because that's kind of what they're saying, is like that there's choice for gamers. But I think it would be a little weird if, like, for example, in a few years, imagine that the next Call of Duty doesn't come out on PlayStation, and they could definitely do that now that they bought Activision Blizzard, because, man, that is a big company with a bunch of big titles on it, like Call of Duty and some others as well. And, you know, just imagine that. Like, what would you think if, you know, all of a sudden Call of Duty is not on PlayStation?
Oh my gosh, trust me, there will be the biggest uproar today, even though there's a lot of people that are always making jokes about Call of Duty, saying it's already a broken game, like no one's really satisfied with Modern Warfare 2. I don't know about you, Henrik. I mean, I'm still rocking a PS4. I don't necessarily have the PS5, but every single time I load up their server, I can never get into a war zone. Never. If I want to get a resurgence, it comes in like no problem. So, like, you know, yeah, it is a bummer. I would really hate to see that go, because, you know, especially when I think about Activision Blizzard, I start thinking about, you know, Xbox threat originally about, you know, possibly taking Fallout away from the PlayStation gamer, where, you know, you would have to buy a Microsoft product. And, you know, it's like, I wish everybody would have the luxury to be able to be a PC gamer. But, you know, guess what? People don't have $1,000 to throw on a system. That's why I feel like Xbox is kind of pulling the price tag down. I noticed that they were trying to sell their consoles for about $250, kind of a slap in the face towards PlayStation, who, you know, still wants $500 to this day, and you can still never get a console. I just think that is so, so insane. But you know what, Henrik? Always a great time having you on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. And let the CCS family know what's good. Where can they follow Henrik the Rex so you can check out his, you know, his gaming memes, his industry talk, and so much more? Let them know what's good.
Yeah, so if you go to bio.link/offhandplays, you'll find all the links. But yeah, I post on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter. And yeah, like you were saying, I post a bunch of like industry news, as well as just, you know, memes about what's going on in the industry and gaming in general. And I also, you know, on my YouTube channel, just, you know, play through some games, you know, have a good time, chill out.
Yeah, hey, that's what's good. Hey, that's what's good. And Henrik the Wreck, as always, thank you again for joining the Chris Collins Show. And guys, definitely keep a lookout on our social media handles, because you're going to see more announcements coming sooner than later for Rage Quit. Thank you again, Henrik. We'll see you around, my friend.
All right. Have a good rest of your day, guys.
All right. You too now, brother.
Thank you.
Hey, what's good, listeners? This is Strike a Chord, where if you physically or digitally pick up that record, you're going to know these tracks. And we got the one and only Whitehall with us now. They are from Charleston, South Carolina. How you doing, gentlemen?
Hey, what's going on? Good.
Oh, there you are. You're back.
Yeah.
Foreheads. That's squish all foreheads in.
Hey, well, we love that you guys make it happen. It's always cool when we get the full ensemble with us. And before we even begin this conversation, I just want to remind the listeners that you can check out our sixth installment of Off the Fret, More Music Talk, featuring emo rocker Anson, out now on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And Whitehall, this summer, the band announced your upcoming third album, Maisie, which is accompanied by a fresh new banger called Rose. And what can you tell us about the new record coming out next year?
Anybody want to take it away? Yeah, we're really excited about it. We wrote it like up in the mountains all together over 2 weeks. So it was a really like cool collaborative process. Then we went out and cut it in LA back in January. And it's cool. It's like really, I feel like it's the most us album that we've made. Oh, so far.
You know, am I talking to the Stones? You said you turned this album around in 2 weeks and you went up to the mountains. I mean, there's a lot of bands out today that are bitching that they don't get like 2 to 3 years to be able to produce your product. I mean, why the quick turnaround?
I don't know. I guess it just worked out. Yeah. Right?
We were just feeling it. Because we didn't go in with anything, and we were kind of worried we were going to get up there and not be able to crank anything out. We just kind of sat there. We just kept having ideas. It was really productive. Cool. It was fun.
That is totally freaking insane. And like, where did the inspiration for your brand new LP, Maisie, come from? Like, what does the album title even mean?
So that's kind of funny. The album title comes from our producer's dog, who was kind of there the whole time we were recording the record. And I don't know, I feel like just like a little bit of her personality kind of bleeds into the feeling of the record a little bit. And
okay, so you need to talk about the personality of the dog. What's the dog like?
Just like a calming presence, you know, the entire time. Calming, but also every time I looked her in the eyes, I feel like I got a good new idea. So she definitely has some connection to the cosmos that she was feeding.
I'm sure some people thought you meant commie, but I think you're saying calming. No, I'm just joking with you guys. But no, I think that's super
awkward
cool.
Joke. Fine.
Yeah. That's not what we meant. Yeah. It's like Cosmo, you know, from Guardians of the Galaxy. That's why I was starting to think Maisie was. But anyways, Patty, I want to throw you this question, my man, because in your new song, you sing in the chorus, "I'm just a drunken telephoner. Can you hear the other end? I think I'm getting sick of meaning anything." And dude, I don't even know what drunken telephoner is, but I'm in. I'm sold. Let me know what you were thinking when you were singing that lyric.
Yeah, so Brennan actually wrote it, but this is great. Yeah. This album was the first that like we kind of all wrote all the songs nearly. But yeah, he got that line, and yeah, it's about down drunk, you know.
It came from a Kurt Vonnegut book, actually. Slaughterhouse 5. There's some line about being a drunken telephoner. I was like, that just sounds cool, so I put it in, and I don't know. And then the other
that
one
is hilarious.
Lyric, so you know.
Say that one more time. I cut you off.
The second part, the meaning anything part, I took from a car seat headrest lyric. So it's just kind of like borrowed lines and ideas, and it kind of sounds nice and abstract. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds dark. I, you know, you guys are an indie rock band, but I feel like I'm talking to a black metal band. I mean, that's totally insane and super deep. I think that's so cool. And you know what? Right now on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show, we are going to be showing the CCS family what's good. So we're going to be playing Whitehall's brand new single, Rose, right now on Strike a Chord. So let's get right on into it.
I've been feeling flares out for the light that shines on my face. I've been waiting for a crowd to put me in my place. Tired of setting off fireworks every day. It's too loud in the dog's howl. Couldn't matter less what they say. Deja vu on the radio. Auto-tune sweet summer songs.
What's good? That is Whitehall's brand new single, Rose, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. We got the lovely gentleman with us right now. And you guys, you know, I just want to remind the listeners real quick that, you know, if you can physically or digitally pick up that record, you're going to know these tracks. And we got the one and only Charleston, South Carolina band with us, Whitehall. And guys, I couldn't be more stoked for you guys because, you know, obviously I got to show the poster real quick for everybody. You guys are the special guest for Goo Goo Dolls opening up for their brand new album, Chaos in Bloom Tour. I think that is super badass. I know that they are lucky to have you. How do you guys feel about joining this this fall tour?
It changed our lives immediately. Yeah, it's really awesome.
And how so?
I mean, just it's like a childhood dream come true. You know, it's like we grew up listening to them. We were kids, and it's a wild. It's in a that we live in a simulation like this. You know.
Yeah, for sure.
And how does something like Whitehall getting involved with Goo Goo Dolls on tour goes down? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are tuning in right now that are just like, even, you know, pursuing artists that are like, man, I want to be in the same position as Whitehall. How did you guys get this to go down?
I don't know. A lot of things had to go right, I guess. Our the label that we're signing to for this record, the guy who runs it actually manages them. And so I think it was kind of him.
Very cool. So they obviously, you know, Goo Goo Dolls must have seen you guys on the record label. They thought, oh my Lanta, this band knows how to bring the bangers. I think that is much fun.
They're big enough that they're gonna check to see who is on the list too. I mean, that's what I think is really cool, is they gave the okay for you. They're like, yes, we love them, let's have them on. Like, I think that to me is a huge accomplishment too.
Have you guys been able to talk with Goo Goo Dolls just yet?
Not their crew. Yeah, just the crew.
Nice, man. I think that's so super exciting for you guys, because I know with this brand new banger, you're only teasing me. You guys haven't dropped the music video just yet for the new album. I know it's not dropping until next year in January, so you still got time to keep, you know, the hype train going. But what I think would be really cool to definitely talk about is some of your past work. And I know the music video that we're about to be playing is called Good Guy off your guys' album Swordfish Catcher, which is always such a banger. And can you guys explain the meaning of what a good guy means? How do I become a good guy?
You're already a good guy.
I like it. Hey, you just immerse them. They think I'm a good guy. I think we can just end the show now. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, what's the message behind this track?
So I was dating somebody at the time who was mad at me occasionally. And I was like, I just want to be the good guy for once, you know? So there's a little bit of a, you know, dichotomy there of just like wanting to be good, but maybe you already are, you know? So
were you dating a narcissist? Because that sounds like what a narcissist would do.
Well, it's funny that
I gotta sing. It's part of the job, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I was actually watching a clip from the Graham show, and he was talking with comedian Nikki Glaser, and they actually, like, they were talking about how they once dated during the pandemic. And Nikki Glaser was saying, the reason why I just couldn't keep with this relationship was he's such a nice guy. He's a good guy. And what's the problem with that? Like, what happened with all the good guys, Marissa? I mean, don't you see that Patty's just a lovable dude right now here on Strike a Chord? What advice could you give Patty right now, Marissa?
Stay being a good guy, because honestly, no, all women love a good guy. You know, just be good in bed. Like, you can't be a good guy and be good in bed.
What about the rest of the gentlemen?
Right? You gotta be good in bed, because I've dated a lot of bad guys and they were horrible in bed. So don't last long. So good guy, good in bed, and you got it golden.
Well, I think Marissa went there. Is Whitehall good in bed?
That's the big question.
Whitehall is the whole band? Are you talking about some gangbang action? Whoa, Chris.
I mean, the album, after all, is called Swordfish Catcher. I don't know if there's any hidden meaning to that. Nah, I'm just playing, gentlemen. But hey, let's go ahead and play your guys', as I love this music video. The visuals are amazing. And you, the CCS family, are in for a treat. This song's called Good Guy, live on the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show.
You say I'm gonna get in the wreck. I don't think that. right, you're wrong. It's just that I'll die if you're correct. I don't want to know. Just how right you are about everything. Make fun of me for about all my stupid scars. Wanna be the good guy. Don't want to die. Girl, some things happen, some things don't. I don't like the way I freak out every time I try to explain myself. Seeing the trees, how the light catches on it, how it helps me breathe. Wanna be the good guy, don't wanna die. Wanna be the good guy. Some things happen, some things don't.
Got to turn on the mic. Hey, that's what's good. That is Whitehall. That is their track, Good Guy. You can find that off their amazing sophomore LP that is called Swordfish Catcher. And, you know, I know I've been pressing, you know, Patty a little bit much, but let's talk with some of the band members here now. I know Avery, Brandon, and Davis. Let's talk with you guys. So, you know, when Patty is coming up with new material for this brand new album, Maisie, I understand that you guys did this in 2 weeks. This is like the first time I'm hearing this correctly. You guys all collaboratively, you know, wrote lyrics together. Did you guys like separate into different rooms, or did you guys all join together when writing this content?
No, you go. You got it.
Well, sometimes we get separated into different rooms. I feel like it was mostly like we get into the room. We're pretty good at coming up with instrumentals with just kind of little bits and pieces of music that maybe Patty brought or one of us brought, and we'll kind of build an instrumental for this version. Specifically Rose.
Yeah. Hey, I have the same problem too.
Talking in public, what are you gonna do? But we all kind of sat around the computer and just kind of, all right, what is this? This is a good line, you know? So it's like line by line. It was one of the only, one of the first times we'd ever really done that specific kind of thing. But all the other songs sort of had that sort of vibe to them too. But a lot of them had a little bit more, one person gave a little bit more of the lyrics or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I find that fascinating because a lot of artists, you know, over the 4 years of the Chris Collins Show, especially when we're having them on Strike a Chord, when it comes to the musical standpoint, it always seems like they want to write the music first and then the lyrics is easier to make it happen. What it sounded like you guys started off with lyrics and then wrote the music. Is that something that you guys are doing as a new practice, or has that always been the flow when it comes to Whitehall?
No, I think it just kind of, each song is kind of different. I don't know. It just kind of depends. Sometimes it'll start with like a lyric, but I feel like most of the time it starts with some sort of like riff or musical idea, and then lyrics usually come after it, or they happen at the same time. Yeah.
I feel like when I'm writing a lot of this stuff, I feel like they have to happen at the same time or they don't make sense to me. So
yeah,
I'm actually the opposite. I write a lot of poems. So I usually write lyrics first and then slap music on top of them.
Yeah, because it's always so cool to dig in the brains of especially young artists like you guys. And I, like I said, you know, Goo Goo Dolls is like super lucky to have you guys on tour. And I know, Patty, like, how do you talk with the rest of your band members? Because I can only imagine you're the singer. You know, Nathan might not necessarily understand the whole tonality of, you know, of how you can project the lyrics out. And how do you talk with them when it has to, you know, have that difficult decision where you go, that line's not necessarily going to work, or I don't like necessarily saying it like this or singing it like this. How do you approach the rest of the guys when these problems arise?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a different conversation every time, but it's funny singing the words that somebody else wrote, especially like, they'll bring in a way that it's like, here's the syllables that fit. And I'm just like, I can't figure out how to say that word there. So they actually give me a lot of leeway in how to do it.
Well, it sounds like it. I think that is super cool. And I know we're actually going to be doing another throwback, because that is the beauty of the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. We are a video on air production, and we're actually going to be looking back again, actually the closing track to Swordfish Catcher. And this song's called 2810. So we're going to be able to play that right now for the CCS family. So guys, what are we waiting for? This is 2810.
Find my keys.
wanna ride, I just wanna be. I just wanna be happy inside.
See, I'll get used to that at one point. But hey, that is Whitehall, and that is their amazing music video. 2810. You can go ahead and check that out on their album, Swordfish Catcher. And gentlemen, let the CCS family know what's good. Where can they purchase tickets to this concert that you guys are going to be all going on tour with, Goo Goo Dolls?
They can either go to our website or our link tree on our Instagram. There's a link in there for everything.
Hey, that's what's good. And gentlemen, I can't thank you guys enough for joining Strike a Chord, where if you physically or digitally pick up that record, you're going to know these tracks. And when the album starts to get closer to coming out, gentlemen, let's definitely talk about that record. Love to have you guys back on. You guys are amazing souls, and good luck with the venture with Goo Goo Dolls.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Rock and roll, gentlemen. We'll talk with you guys at another time. Man, that was great. More left on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. This is What's Good, because there's so much negativities on channels 2 through 11. So Marissa and I, we like to break the mold and let you, the CCS family, know what's good. So Zachary Denorosky, a former medical student and social media influencer who inspires his followers with touching videos about mental health, is a must follow for uplifting content. If you haven't followed him already, his Instagram handle is MD Motivator. And recently, Zachary helped a woman named Mrs. Hernandez, who has suffered from the devastating impact of Hurricane Fiona last month, and has started a social media campaign to help her. And check out this beautiful content right now.
How are you?
Good, and you?
Good. You speak English?
A little bit.
What happened?
The situation that is passing right now, she's very tough for her. She sent her girls to Michigan.
How old are your kids?
4 and 11. They used the army to rescue them. The small cars can't pass here.
So were you by yourself then?
She was with a girl. 36 hours raining, no stopping. The roof, the water obviously came.
Are you working currently?
She's working in her house.
What do you do for work?
She prepares food.
The kitchen was here?
Yeah.
So the kitchen is your business?
Mm-hmm.
So you need this to get your business back up?
Yeah.
How much is the total?
$2,500.
Is that your dream, cooking? You love cooking?
Yeah, I love cooking.
So we wanted to come today to hear people's stories, but we also wanted to bless someone too. So I have a surprise for you. We have $2,500 for you. So you can get your kitchen back up and bring your babies back.
Thank you.
No problem. I love you.
And you know what? I always love that kind of content. And I know it started off with $2,500, but it continued. I mean, he, you know, with this kind of huge following, you know, to be able to add it to your Instagram bio to donate even further to help her. I mean, again, she had a destroyed home, her business, and her kids were forced to move out. I mean, didn't you just see this devastating footage? I mean, how do you feel, Marissa, about, you know, people like MD Motivator, who is using his following to make a difference?
You know what I really love about this is he's going to the individual people. This is one reason why I don't donate to huge organizations, is I don't know where my money is going. I don't know who I'm helping. We hear all the time about, you know, things that people think they're donating to for a cause, and they find out someone bought a mansion, right? We find out all this stuff. And I think about all these, the celebrities, I think about all the people who go, oh, I donate this, look how good I am. But I'm like, really, if you actually went into the towns, if you went into the homes of people you think you're helping, then you can actually directly give it to them and you can help them out. So I feel if more people can do small things like that and even help out their neighbor next door or someone they know that's happening, you know, through, that dollar will have a bigger impact than donating to just some huge nameless, you know, not nameless, but like faceless organization who probably is using that money on administration. I'm not saying those organizations aren't needed, but that's one reason why I don't donate to them. I'd rather help someone out directly through or going through someone like this person, who you can tell is walking in there and saying, here, get this done. Here, have this. I would much rather donate my money to that.
Absolutely. I think we all feel the same way. And if you want to follow along with this uplifting stories, go ahead and follow him at his Instagram handle, MD Motivator. And I want to thank all our active listeners for joining us every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, because without your support, this show wouldn't be possible. And I know we're starting to run out of time, so I got to just jump right on into it. I want to let you guys know we got another jam-packed guest lineup that's going to be joining us, because our Just Talking guest is actress Juliana DeStefano to talk about her coming-of-age rebellion film, Acid Test, as well as Strike a Chord artist Kulik to discuss his new deluxe version of his 2022 album, Everyone I Know Will Die. And follow us on social media by following our handle at Chris Collins Show for more updates on guest announcements, new interviews, and so much more. And also check out our sixth installment of Off the Fret with emo rocker Anson. And if you like what you're listening to, go to thechriscollinsshow.com and become a member today and get that free CCS t-shirt for now. Enjoy the weekend, fam, and we will see you next week. All right. Peace. What's good, party people? Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2022, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Royals. There's got to be a better way. Hurricane Highway. Cannibal Kids. Amanda Cooksey. Astoria State. Kid Death. Resounding. Sleep Cycles. Avenues. Freckles. Weather Worn. Just True. Sophia Marie. Music Storm 2022. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. Peace. Our brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
I love it. It's more time to chat.
Hello.
You look so jazzy. I love your outfit.
How far would you go to start playing live music again?
This slaps harder than my ex when she got her stimulus check. So, are you here to bring the sexual healing with your music? Oh, everything is everything, and I guarantee you're going to hear this song in the future. I love the flow, man. Politically charged album. So, if you get easily offended, this might not be the album for you. Brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
So excited.
Has Kim Kardashian accidentally sent you a coochie shot?
Do you want to stay there? It's completely your choice. Or you want to...
I feel you. And you know what I love? Off the Fret. More music talk. Peace. What's good? I'm Chris from the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show, featuring Anson, set to bridge early 2000s emo rock with today's mainstream stratosphere, amassing millions of streams online, joins Off the Fret. More music talk.